God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I say that with enthusiasm. It is true. He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God loves us, and all that he does is good. And he will teach us as much as we will receive. What can we handle? What can we be faithful with? What do we desire? The desires of God, when we desire to know him and we seek him, then God can work and introduce us to greater knowledge. And I found that if anybody get on board with following God, they will receive knowledge that would greatly and exponentially exceed all of their expectations. I was thinking earlier today how every time the Lord clued me in on something, helped me to see what I did and answer my questions, it always contributed to the healing process of life. And I started out seeking the Lord for one thing, and I learned many other things that knowledge was capable of. My favorite teaching was how to love people. And when he taught me that concept, now I say concept, that's what's in our heart. That's what's in the new man. The fruits of the Spirit is in the Spirit. A born-again spirit has fruit. And they are listed, nine fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, temperance, meekness, goodness, long-suffering is one of them, temperance. I may not, if I keep on, I'll probably get all of them. It might add a few more with it, but it's really nine. And the thing is, these things are in us. What I was asking, I was about to fail God when my strength ran out. I was about to make an evil choice to fight when I didn't have to. And then the Lord said, you know the story, if you listen to these broadcasts enough, he said, everlasting love, love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And it gave my heart strength. Well, that charged my heart, and I was back to balance again. I had just enough strength to do what was right, and I wanted to do what was right all alone, but I couldn't. I ran out of strength, and I was angry. But I wanted to do it God's way. So I said, man, I'm going to go buy us a drink. We're going to talk. God gave me wisdom in my response. It was time for me to respond. And I was going to respond negatively and in an ungodly way. And when he strengthened me, I responded in a wise and loving and godly way. And that's how I wanted to conduct myself all alone. So I was motivated. And if you want to do these things and turn to the Lord, he'll show you how you can do it. But I said, Lord, this is not going to stop happening. I said, people are going to be people, and, we rub each other the wrong way sometime. And I'm going to, I don't want to get offended and start fighting like I used to do. I want you to teach me how to love your people. Now, that was my best way of, the new birth, he gave me that ability. But I was looking at my strength level and the way people do things and the aggravating things they do. But through God, I knew that was a way to master this problem. And that's what I was asking for. But in the new birth, he gave us the nine fruits of the Spirit. And you don't have to really, you don't really have to muster up those nine gifts. They're there always. You just have to give way to them. And ultimately, that's what he taught me to do. Now, Jesus said, let your light shine. He didn't say, make it shine. He didn't say, pray in the Holy Ghost until it shines. He said, let it shine. As if there was really nothing else to do. Now, every time I run into a stumbling block, the first thing I do as a reflex, I pray in the Holy Spirit. I don't know what to pray for. I need help, and it's obvious that I need help. So when I pray in the Holy Spirit, I'm asking, my spirit man is asking the Lord to help me. And And I don't even, and I pray in my, I pray with understanding also, but that's limited. But the Spirit is unlimited. And I found that to be true. So when I pray in the Holy Spirit, I ask the Lord to help me. You know, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, one time I prayed in tongues for a long time, and the Lord told me what I prayed. And it was off the charts. He said, I prayed for my daughter. I prayed for her healing, because Shira had Crohn's at that time. And I prayed for others. He told me everything I was praying for. He said, I prayed for my audience. I said, what? My audience? I said, Lord, what is my audience? He said, those are the people that surround you every day. Now, I'm driving the kids back home, you know, and I dropped them off at their mom's house. And I'm going back to my house. And that's when the Lord told me what I was praying. You know, my children didn't hear me praying. I was praying, you know, I can pray in the Holy Spirit and be quiet about it. I do that all the time. And then he was telling me what I prayed. And he said, I prayed for my audience. I said, what, my audience? He said, the people that are around you every day. And my spirit man was considering them, praying that I would, you know, I wrote down what I prayed, but I put the interpretation. It was a writing, and it's on my old website, livingletterministries.com. And I wrote down everything the Lord told me. Some of it, it may not come to mind right now, but I did write it down. But what stood out, I prayed for my audience and to help me be a blessing to my audience, because people are around you every day. And we hear good word from our pastors, and we listen to the Lord, we pray, and we can be effective. And guess what? Over the years after that, and even before, but more so, people, when they had problems, they confide in me. Even people that don't really like you that much, you know, they would confide in me. People that was upset with me confided in me. They told me their backstory and all kind. God, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're praying in an your mind can't come up with this. My mind could not have come up with it. And so many people don't do it. If I told them these testimonies, they couldn't relate to it, because they don't go in the Holy, they don't pray in the Holy Spirit and go in God's presence on a continually. People don't do that. But the people that do can identify with it. And people that will pray, many times they don't study the word. Christian people don't study the word much. But anybody that have a God is first in their life, and they seek after the Lord, and they want knowledge from God, and they take time and study the word, and they listen, and they walk in the God kind of love, they have more revelation continually throughout their life. And they can identify with what I'm saying, because they do things like that. And I listen to people when they do things like that, and it's always a blessing. But most people are just they're going through their routine, and they ask God to bless whatever routine they have. And I'm not putting condemnation on anybody, but this is what people do. Some people, they just don't do that. It's good if you can get Christian people to study the word like they're supposed. They don't. Mothers are busy, fathers are working, students are studying. Now, how many people have a time that they set aside just to spend with the Lord? Even if they're single, if they're home all day, they find that, you know, people I know that's at home a lot, they taking care of the grandchildren. And most people, it's still not, but this is what they say. They just don't have time. There's so much they have to do every day, and they don't do that. Well, God is important. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to study. I'm going to listen to the word. I'm busy too. I used to work two jobs, and I still work just as long. Many days, I've been doing more things around the house, and I have a lot of cars to fix, because I still fix cars in my business to do the radio ministry and other things that I have to do. My day is full, and I thought I'd have more time to spend with my family, and I take time to spend with my family more than I used to, but it's still not like I desire it to be. And I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to work one job. I'm going to work my business, and I'm going to work a lot less than I used to. And I'm going to spend even more time with it. I take time. You have to take time to pray and to study. And at night when I go to bed, I go to bed praying. I may pray for 30 minutes to an hour. I don't time it. I just pray. And I ask the Lord questions, and to be prepared for what He wants to do. I always confess that I would do all that's in His heart, and I spend more time praying in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I just listen. Now this is important, because how can you cooperate with Him if you don't do necessary things? And you just have to make time. I watch TV. So if I can watch TV, I can spend time with God. And the foolishness they put on TV, a lot of it just vexes your spirit. So I don't want my spirit vexed. So I buy CDs and tapes. I buy DVDs from Steve Quayle and Tom Horn. I watch that about as much as I watch other things. And I watch home renovation, because I don't want to see people blowing each other up, cussing each other out, undressing. I don't want to see that. And So I watch stuff that's more wholesome, and I like movies. I know it's just a movie. Nobody's going to die in a movie. I watch Western sometimes. But this is the point. The point is not that. It's spending time with quality time with the Lord and yielding to Him. Now, every time I ask the Lord questions to get out of whatever ditch I was in or solve any problem I had, when I learned, just like when I asked Him to teach me how to love His people, He taught me many principles about love. He taught me many things, true things about people. He taught me how to see other people's side of things and not just jump to a conclusion. Don't take it personal. And He taught me the beautiful art of long suffering. That's something people don't like to do. And when people teach faith, a lot of times they teach it in a more in a way people will accept. Well, guess what? You can use your faith to be long-suffering, to have temperance, to do the things that truly matter, to pray. If you hear an ambulance, a fire truck, you know they're going to somebody's rescue. So if you love to operate in faith, you can pray for people that you don't know. And sometimes, see, you're not emotionally attached, whereas their loved ones are frightened and they're emotionally attached, and they're hoping that their loved ones will live and not die, their mother, their grandmother. It's going to devastate the family if they do. So I pray for the people in need. They need me. They need somebody to pray. We need to involve God. And I don't know who they are. I don't know what they've done. But see, this is the thing. I pray for people when they need me to. And if there's a reason for not praying for them, then the Lord will stop me. Now, so I don't pray in doubt, wondering if it's God's will. Now, I pray if one time I was going to pray for a person and the Lord stopped me. So I had to I do what God say do. But if He don't stop you, keep praying. One day you might be in the same ambulance, in the same situation, God forbid. But when you sow these things, you can reap them. You sow mercy, you reap mercy. You have strength, and you help people that can't help you. God is going to bless you. And even if you help people that can help you back, God is going to bless you. Now, I learned other principles about love. Now, this is just, He taught me how to overcome other things with that same teaching on love. He taught me that you can't love a person and lust after them. So I learned that. And this is another thing. He taught me, I talk about these things because a lot of people need to hear it. It's nothing wrong with hearing the same thing again. When I was asking the Lord, a year after He taught me to love His people. Well, actually, He taught me to love people when I got called to the ministry, spring of 87, fall of 87. I spent that whole summer learning principles about love. Then the enemy started tempting me with women and tempting women with me. And it was about to drive me nuts. And I didn't want to live like that. I didn't want to live an ungodly life or have an ungodly life on my mind. So after he taught me to love people, then he told me in the spring of 88, he taught me to love the women that were trying to tempt me. because he knew that if you love a person, you can't lust after them. You can't lust after them. I didn't know that. I just obeyed, and I found out I said, Lord, how do you deal with this situation? And he gave me a vision when a friend of mine was upset with me. And I loved him earlier that day, and later on that day, he showed me a replay. It's just like watching, it was like watching TV. I saw a replay of that same event. It was a vision. And I saw it, and he said, you handle it the same way. Well, if he would have told me, this is the beautiful thing about seeking the Lord. He know how to get a point across. He can speak to you. He can give you understanding spirit to spirit when communication won't work. He said, you handle it the same way. Now, I had a reference. I had a comparison. I had a visual of how to, he was telling me, just like you didn't get offended when your friend got upset with you, and you loved them with the God kind of love. Now, love the women with the God kind of love. And don't be offended. Don't be upset. Well, I didn't get upset. I got, it would tempt me. Instead of, just like I decided not to get upset and to stay in the love of God, I'm going to love the women instead of being tempted by them. I chose not to be tempted because I love them. It is impossible to lust after anybody when you love them with the God kind of love. Now that's a fact that I never knew. It took me years to put it in words. But that's what I understood from the vision and the event. See, the Lord can show you a principle when you're in the bubble of obedience. I was a student of love, so love would solve my problem. And then it was better, but it wasn't. I still felt tempted from time to time. And now I want to explain this part. When we don't just receive salvation, we reject the worldly influence. We don't just receive salvation, we ask God to forgive us of our sin and we turn from our sin. See, repenting is rejection. The way people repent, they say, well, I repent. I repented of that. I repented. Repenting is still necessary. That's what I'm saying. But rejection, that gives a more complete thought to the fact that you did repent. We don't just receive salvation, we reject the sin that held us back as well. In other words, we don't receive salvation and hope we quit desiring sin. No, we receive salvation and all the love and strength of it, and we have the power to reject the sin that did hold us back, the sin that we used to like. You can even say with your mouth, I hate that sin. Now you're rejecting it. If you say, I repent of my sins, and I hope I'll never do it again, that's not full rejection. You don't like it, you don't want it, I agree with you. But when you reject it, and if you have enough strength, say you hate it. If you say it by faith, it will become real. Whether you feel that you hate it, you don't have to wait till you feel that you hate the sin to say that you hate the sin in faith. See, faith is a definer. You can redefine your life however you want to. If you feel like you've been falling for the same lie all the time, the same trap, the same problem, you keep having that problem no matter what you do, stop using your strength, my friend, and start using God's. And this is what I mean by that. Speak it by faith and ask the Lord to give you his wisdom. Sometimes in order to repent, you have to learn something. You have to, you need God to give you what to do. You don't have to depend on your strength and might. when God is standing right there next to you full time, 24/7, every year, to give you whatever you need. He can give you knowledge if you need knowledge. He can give you wisdom if you need wisdom. He can give you might if you need might. And he can, and if you ask him to teach you, Lord, how do I kill this problem? I don't want this to ever be a problem again. How do I do it? He will teach you personally. And if there's somebody out there that did any kind of teaching that will help you, he might even show you or their book, listen to them on YouTube, whatever you need. But you can go to the Lord. Whatever he say, do it. He's going to get the point across. If he decide to use your pastor or a minister you know, a minister you don't know, a minister on the radio, a minister on the YouTube, or Facebook, whatever, the Holy Spirit will get the point across. But first, you got to ask for it, and by faith, and you got to believe it. Now, he used what you have to teach you something. I had a strength. I had a new strength because for 6 months he had been teaching me how to love his people. For a year, because it was spring of 88, he taught me to love his people spring of 87. So a year went by, and I was learning about love. I learned all kind of principles, and the more I learned, the more motivated I was. It was fun not to be offended at people. It was fun to be long-suffering. It was rewarding. When it wasn't fun, it was still rewarding. At least I did things in a godly way, and I was able to represent the Lord better. And the Lord taught me so many things, because love is an eye-opener. Love is light. John, in First John chapter 1, John taught us that love is light. You can't stumble in the darkness when you have the God kind of love in you. And when you love people that don't love you, according to 1 Peter, you know, you're giving way to the fruits of the Spirit. You're loving people that may not even like you or mean to you. You're loving them with unfeigned love, the God kind of love. You're loving them like Jesus loved you. Jesus laid his life down to save us, to save you, to save me. And we love people no matter how they are. We love them because that's what God said do. He gave us the ability to love people. It's rewarding. It's a blessing. And I love loving his people. I love all of his people. I love people of every race, of every background. And I know on the radio, I tell people, if you try to go to heaven around Jesus, you're just a thief and a robber. And I have to tell them that because I love them. And every religion that tried to go around Jesus to get to God, they are thieves and robbers. And I say it boldly, and I mean it. I say it publicly. I say it to my kinfolks and friends. Some are persuaded by other religions or whatever. If they ask, I tell them the truth. Because it's terrible. It's a terrible. I've seen people go to hell. And that ain't good. God took me to hell and I saw people falling in it. That's the wrong time to find out that your religion wasn't worth a quarter. And you can't come back and get a do-over. And so I don't know another way to do it. But I still depend on the Lord to help me minister to people. But whatever he, you know, Jude says, snatching them out of the fire. Sometimes you just got to be quite frank with people. And sometimes the love of God will work. The kindness all the time, you know, you love people. I don't try to prove that I love people. I just love them, and whatever I have to say, I say it. And anybody with good sense know I don't mean them no harm. And I just clarify stuff. But I don't fear. See, if you try to just receive what God say without rejecting worldly things, your life is not going to be complete. Now, when I ask the Lord to I said, Lord, sometimes, even though I love the women, sometimes I still feel tempted. It was better, but it wasn't complete yet. I said, there's something else I don't know. And then he said, don't fear falling. And I said, oh, see, I was closing one door with the other one half cracked. I had problems. See, I said earlier that you can't love a person and lust after them. It's impossible. And it's true. But I still feared that I would fall. And see, I didn't know these things like I'm telling you. Now, all I knew, I started practicing the love of God. But I still had fear that I would fall. And that was an attachment that Satan used to hinder me with. And my concepts were different. I know it may sound weird to some, because how could that happen? Why would you fear it? Sometimes you can fear something because it's in your blind spot. If you got a problem in your blind spot and you don't know it, you don't have the ability to detect it. I didn't know it was there. I practiced, because I started loving people, I stopped fearing people. And I could go around anybody and I would not be afraid. I would work on cars. Sometimes there would be gang activity. I didn't fear the gang members. I didn't fear the gangs, the guys selling drugs. I didn't fear them. And they didn't bother me. And when they knew that I wasn't afraid of them, they'd act like they had good sense. So to me, in my mind, there was no fear. But I still felt like I would fall. So that when the Lord said, "Don't fear falling," that meant that there was a leaven of fear still there that I didn't. It was in my blind spot. The door was half cracked. Satan was still, he still had an attachment through that fear. Now my concepts were just like the supermodels that walk down the runway in their attire, in their half-dressed attire, or whether they're fully dressed, however. They always act like they own the room. They act like they are the master of the art. They act like they are the master to the whole audience. They're in control of everything because they're beautiful. And now these things are unspoken. This is what happens. So what I did was, they know they're beautiful. They're walking down the aisle. They're the master. You're the servant. You're the slave. Now that's how Hollywood, that's how they do it. That's how they present themselves. They don't present themselves like a humble person or a kind person. They act like they're the master of the room. And Satan set it up that way. That's just I don't think they mean any harm, but sometimes you have to look at the spirit behind the thing. A person's perspective, they may not even be thinking that way. They may be shy and withdrawn, but that's how they are taught to do. Now, I'm using this for an example. This is the best way I know to describe it. Men that lust after women, they feel an element of fear. The woman is like the tiger in the woods, and they just hope that she don't they gave her their control. Anytime you fear a person, you gave them a partial control of your life. So when the Lord said, "Don't fear falling," I heard those four words, "Don't fear falling," those three words. Or he said, "Never fear falling." I heard those three words. But this is what I understood. They're not the lion or the tiger in the woods anymore. They're not the predator. I got my power back because I took it back. I decided not to ever fear them again. And now I'm the hunter with the elephant gun and the night vision, and I'm not afraid of your power anymore. For once I saw that I had a choice. And the way the enemy play men is, if you don't lust after women, you just a sissy. And I've heard men say that. They think that if they don't lust after the woman, they're sissy. Well, guess what Jesus said? Don't. If you look at a woman and lust after her, it's the same as committing adultery. So who's right? Jesus is right. This means that if I lust after a woman the wrong way, then I'm committing adultery. I don't want to live like that. That's not what I desire. And I don't want to be tempted. Now, just because you're tempted don't mean that you're a sinner. But I didn't want to be tempted. I didn't want to live the rest of my life with junk on my mind. I wanted to be free from it. So I asked the Lord, how do I kill the problem? When I go in his presence, sometimes I receive a clue that there's a better way to do a thing. And I just ask the Lord how to do it. Now, I want everybody, you know, it may not be the same thing, but this is what the church needs right now. They need to be yielding to the Lord and learning things that he knows that they need. So if you pray in the Holy Spirit a lot, you're going to ask the Lord to help you learn things. And when he do, stick with it. But don't just receive his word. Receive his word and reject whatever's holding you back. Now, the fact that there was something in my blind spot, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago, I started saying with my mouth that everything that's like Satan has got to go. And the first time I said it was the most difficult time, which wasn't that hard to do, but it got easier. Every time I say it, there's more fire in it because I'm charging my heart to do those things and it's working. I can live without satanic interference. Just like in the old days, when you watch TV, you had that old static. Well, there's less static now. I can hear the Lord. So when he said, don't fear falling, I was free from it. And I can't remember the last time I was tempted with a woman. If Satan tried it, it wouldn't work no more. Because it's impossible to lust after a person that you love. And if you reject the darkness, it has no hold on your life. And you can live free. But the point being is this. Receive what the wonderful things that the Lord will tell you and be blessed. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to teach you his word in every way. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.